reading to you from the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, and with the 7th verse. Bear all things, believe all things, hope all things, endure all things. Love never fails, but if there are gifts of prophecy, they will be done away. If there are tongues, they will cease. If there is knowledge, it will be done away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic. Gave my heart to Christ. It'll soon be 56 years ago. In a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. Then, one year later, God called me to preach. Well, I've been sharing Jesus ever since. Boy, we had a great time in prison Sunday. There was 8 to 10 men prayed to receive Christ, and there was tears there, too. We played that song, those two songs, you know, that I put out in the tape. You know, that's amazing what that song is doing in the lives of people. I got a call from a pastor, said that this guy lost his wife, and he's been in 5 years ago, and he hasn't got over it, and he's still playing this record, and it's making him feel better. Makes me feel happy. Be with you for a half an hour tonight. Kick off your slippers, sit back and relax. Pour you a glass of iced tea or a cup of coffee. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to Acts, the 13th chapter. Let's begin reading with the 14th verse. But going on from Perga, they arrived at Pisidian, Antioch, and on the Sabbath day they went into the synagogues and sat down. And after reading of the law and the prophets, the synagogues' officials sent to them, saying, Brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say it. And Paul stood up and motioned with his hands. He said, Men of Israel, and you who fear God, listen. The God of this father, Israel, chose our fathers and made the people great during their stay in the land of Egypt. And with an uplifted arm, he led them out from it. And for a period of about 40 years, he put up with them in the wilderness. And when he had destroyed 7 nations in the land of Canaan, he distributed their land as an inheritance, all of which took about 450 years. And after these things, he gave them judges until Samuel the prophet. And when they asked for a king, and God gave them Saul, the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, for 40 years. And after he had removed him, he raised up David to be their king, concerning whom he also testified and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart, who will do all my will. From the offspring of this man, according to promise, God has brought to Israel a Savior, Jesus. After John had proclaimed before his coming a baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel. And while John was completing his course, he kept saying, What do you suppose that I am? I am not he, but behold, one is coming after me, the sandals of whose feet I am not worthy to untie. We've listed this Paul's long sermon in the synagogue. Well, first, consider the two Antiochs. Paul and Barnabas had been sent from the church at Antioch, east of the Mediterranean. Now, they ministered at Antioch, north of the Mediterranean, and Pisidia, near Galatia. Great works of God began and were established in both Antiochs. The stranger in the synagogue began his powerful sermon. Paul shows the Jews all their history of his story. He told his story from Moses in Egypt to Joshua in Canaan, verse 16 and 19. And Paul stood up and motioned with his hand, and he said, Men of Israel, and you who fear God, listen. The God of this people, Israel, chose our fathers and made the people great during their stay in the land of Egypt. And with the uplifted arm, he led them out from it. And for a period of about 40 years, he put up with them in the wilderness. And when he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he distributed their land as an inheritance of all, which took about 450 years. Well, he told his story from the time of the judges to John the Baptist, verse 20-25. And after these things, he gave them judges until Samuel the prophet. And then they asked for a king, and God gave them Saul, the son of Kish, a band of the tribe of Benjamin, for 40 years. And after he had removed him, he raised up David to be their king, concerning whom he also testified and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart, who will do all my will. Well, listen. Christ, the son of David, is the promised Savior, verse 22 and 23. And after he had removed him, he raised up David to be their king, concerning whom he also testified and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart, who will do my will. From the offspring of this man, according to promise, God hath brought to Israel a Savior, Jesus. Now, John the Baptist, Lord and Lamb, fulfill Isaiah's prophecy. You know what? I don't know if I'm going to have to get new glasses or what, but I'm not reading what I'm seeing. After John had proclaimed before his coming a baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel, and while John was completing his course, he kept saying, What do you suppose that I am? I am not he, but behold, one is coming after me, the sandals of whose feet I am not worthy to unlatch. Well, John the Baptist, we have a promised Savior. Now, John the Baptist is the Lord and Lamb fulfilled. Now, listen to me. Christ is a figure of forgiveness. See, I'm telling you, my eyes. Therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through him forgiveness of sin is proclaimed to you. The gospel is the good news of forgiveness for all people. And then Paul said, Men and brethren, it is forgiveness for Paul's brethren, the Jews. It is forgiveness for Gentiles as well. In verse 42 it says, And as Paul and Barnabas were going out, the people kept begging that these things might be spoken to them the next Sabbath. Well, we all need forgiveness because we are all sinners. Romans 3:23. For we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Friends, I don't understand why the people back on Capitol Hill can't see that they're sinners. Do you know what they're doing to our country? Do you know our great-great-great-great-grandchildren will never be able to pay off the debt that these hunyocks are raising up today? And they're doing it with their chin stuck out. Oh, yeah, they are. You bet they are. See, righteous acts cannot atone for sin. And I read in Isaiah 64:6, For all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a filthy garment, and all of us either like a leaf, and our iniquities take us away. Well, only Christ can cleanse and make us clean. Well, some people say, well, I don't know. Well, it says in 1 John 1:19, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Some people think if they get baptized, that washes away their sins. Got a flash for you. Not going to happen. Do you know there was a bunch of people over here in this one church? Went over to Israel not too long ago and to make a visit. And they all got baptized again. That was making mockery. One faith, one Lord, one baptism. People are, if they read the Bible, they wouldn't do all these dumb, stupid things, I'm telling you. Well, there are priceless benefits of believing, verse 39. And through him, everyone who believes in is freed from all things from which you could not be freed through the law of Moses. By him, Christ, all that believe are justified. Justification goes beyond forgiveness. Now, forgiveness clears our sinful record. Justification declares us righteous as if we had never sinned. Don't you like that word, justification? My. They are priceless results of being justified. Now it tells us we have peace with God in Romans 5:1. And therefore, they're being justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ and nobody else. Now you say, well, Cecil, wait a minute now. I don't understand that. I go down to the church, and the priest forgives me. Well, he's just fooling himself, because he ain't even been forgiven. Man cannot forgive sin. We can forgive things we've done to each other, but sin forgiveness has to come through Jesus Christ the Lord. Now, we are saved from wrath. And I read in Romans 5:9, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. These benefits are not available through law. Now, you know, in Romans 3:20 says, because by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified in his sight. For through the law comes the knowledge of sin. Well, and then it also tells us in Galatians 2:16, nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ Jesus and not by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law, since by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Friends, listen. They are available by faith because of Christ's death. And they are available to all sinners through faith. Now listen. The Bible says there's a danger in doubting. Verse 40. Take heed, therefore, so that the things spoken of in the prophets may not come upon you. Behold, you scoffers, and marvel and perish. For I am accomplishing a work in your days, a work which you will never believe, though someone should describe it to you. Well, friends, listen. Here's a solemn word of warning for those who reject the message. Beware, therefore. The offer of salvation by grace is a great privilege. To reject this offer brings greater condemnation. Now listen, it says, to receive Christ is to live. To reject him is to perish. And I read in John 3:36, he who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Friends, listen, there's some real warnings there for us. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Do you know what one of the commandments for the Christian is? To be witnesses, soul winners. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every living creature. Every Christian has a job on this earth. You say, well, Cecil, you know I'm not very smart, and so I just mow the lawn on the church. That's commendable. God bless you. God bless you. Woman, you and I used to work in our mission in North Dakota. She'd come and wash the curtains in the chapel. And you know what? She was an old lady in her 80s, and she would go and get down on her knees and wash them in a tub. And we said, well, we'll buy you a washing machine. Oh, no, honey. She said, I just soon wash them by hand, and then I'll know they're done right. Oh, what a dear saint of God. She's got a special place in heaven. You know, we preachers, we get up and we preach and we romp and we stomp. And you know what? All we are just a little pebble of sand. See, I'm not working in management. I am in sales. I'm not selling the gospel. No, I was just funnered. I don't sell the gospel. It's just like my books and my film and all those things. I give them away. Why? Because I don't want anybody poor not to hear the gospel. And if I sold it, I would be somebody who couldn't afford it, wouldn't be able to buy it, and they might miss heaven. But you can't tell these preachers on television and radio today and these televangelists, man, you got to send $1 million or $1,000 seed in order to be right with God. If you don't send that money, you can't be right with God. And then they will say, well, I'll release that poverty on you, what you've got on you, and I'll release it. God can only release things like that. Friends, these are blasphemers out of hell. And boy, oh boy, that day that we're going to all stand before God, including this man speaking to you right now, I'm going to have to give an account for everything that I ever preached on radio or in evangelistic meetings or churches. And so are you going to give an account for your life. Now you say, well, I was a deacon. Well, hoop-de-doo. I'm a preacher. Hoop-de-doo. It's God's business. You and I have a job to do. Why aren't we doing it? Because we're lazy. Because we don't care if people go to heaven or hell. And people who don't give a hoot whether you go to heaven or hell, I just doubt if they know Jesus. Friends, you've got to have some kind of spiritual backbone. You say, well, Cecil, I'm timid. Well, so am I. I'm a coward. Yes, I am. But you know my daily prayer, Lord, please give me holy boldness. Fill me with your spirit, dear Lord. Help me to be a soul winner for Jesus. That's been my daily prayer for years and years, and it works. So if you're frightened, don't be afraid to ask him. He said, you have not because you ask not. Now, Paul's hearers responded to the good news. Some believed and were eager to hear more. Verse 42, it said, and as Paul and Barnabas were going out, the people kept begging that these things might be spoken to them in the next Sabbath. Now, when the meeting of the synagogue had broken up, many of the Jews and of the God-fearing proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas Barnabas, who, speaking to them, were urging them to continue in the grace of God. And the next Sabbath, nearly the whole city assembled to hear the word of God. Oh, friends, listen. You know, I was preaching a revival in Hamilton, Washington. Now, that's really a little Tar Heel. They're all North Carolina people. 50 people were saved in that revival. And you know what? It wasn't even advertised. Don't ask me. Only God knows how to do it. He spread the word. Hey, there are people getting saved down at his church. You ought to come to the revival. Preaching wasn't that good. But the love was there. Friends, I have love in my heart for people who are lost. My heart goes out to people who are doomed and damned on the road to hell. Because I was there one time. And so were you. Oh, yes, you were. Well, some doubted and spoke evil of Paul and Silas. Verse 45. But when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and began contradicting the things spoken by Paul and were blaspheming. Let me ask you, what is your response to the gospel today? Don't you feel an obligation? Hey, friends, I can't pay for my salvation. I can't buy it. Can't earn it. But I'll tell you what, it was a gift of God, and I reached out by faith, and I took that gift when they told me that Jesus could change my life and deliver me from alcoholism, and which he did. Oh, but he did, and how thankful I am. You know, I'll be sober pretty soon, 56 years. To God be the glory. Cecil didn't quit drinking. God gave him deliverance. And then, you know, I spoke for several weeks or 7 months after I was saved, and I felt so convicted and so condemned. I knew it was wrong. The Holy Spirit convicted me. Finally, one night, I asked the Lord to help me. I couldn't bear it any longer. And he delivered me from tobacco. So some of you listening tonight, you say, well, man, could he deliver me from alcohol or tobacco? Well, I hope to kiss a pig he could. But you got to let him. You got to let him. Well, listen, let me ask you this. Where do you stand tonight? You say, well, Cecil, I don't know. I don't know where I'm standing. Well, I can tell you right now, the Bible said this is written that you may know that you pass into other life. Are you going to heaven when you die? You say you don't know. Well, what did the Bible say? This is written you that you may know. Not hope so, not guess so. I know. I'm not going to go to heaven because I'm a preacher. I'm going to go to heaven because I got on my knees one time 56 years ago and asked God to forgive me. Confess that I was a sinner. Would you like to do that tonight? Do you have a tugging at your heart right now? Well, here's what you need to do. This is the most powerful prayer ever known to man. Don't you dare pray it if you don't mean it. But here's how it goes. Kind Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I confess, Lord, that I'm a sinner. I'm so sorry for my wasted life. Tonight, Lord, the best way I know how, I'm opening my heart and inviting you in to be my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. You prayed that prayer, won't you get on the phone? Call 303-471-8534. No, I won't use your name on the air. I will not embarrass you. I will not sit down and write and ask you for any money. Don't care where you go to church. I'm only concerned, my dear friend, where you spend eternity. Now, if you can't afford this call me collect. I'll accept the charges. 303-471-8534. I'm waiting for your call.
Touched me.
Friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. Thank you, dear ones, for listening. Please forgive me for my reading tonight. My glasses are... I don't know what it is. Now, it's not because I'm 85. Don't you say it is. Because I'm not old. Oh, friends, I'm so grateful tonight that Jesus saved me. Boy, I sure didn't deserve it. I sure didn't. But he did, and I thank him for it. Now, friends, listen, if you feel like you're an insignificant Christian, you just get down on your knees and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm a child of the King. Forgive me for not recognizing the fact that you are everything in the world to me, and I'm everything in the world to you. Well, friends, until this time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbor, stay sweet. Keep looking up for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus. It's coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you. Real, real good.